Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice in God my Savior, and I give thanks to God that the gospel that God entrusted to me to preach when he first revealed his Son to me has reached you in these regions. And you have received it with joy, and you've experienced God's glorious salvation. And what a salvation it is, isn't it? That God would take those who are spiritually dead in their transgression and sin, those who have followed the evil ways of this world and the prince of the power of the air, and that out of his great mercy and grace would make us alive in Jesus Christ and offer to us eternal life. That goes beyond human understanding. For we know that as sinners we deserve judgment. We know that we have rightly earned death as the wages for our sin. But God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, of whom I'm the chief. In my pursuit of righteousness based on the law, I persecuted Jesus because I persecuted his body. I pursued those who were followers of the way. I hunted them down, had them thrown into prison and tortured, and I gave consent to their death. I was a violent man and a blasphemer, but God had mercy on me. Not through anything I have done, not through anything you have done. There's nothing we could do to earn this salvation. There's nothing we could do to deserve this salvation. That's why I wrote to the Ephesian believers and said, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. That God places his righteousness in our account, and it is from first to last by faith. That's why I urge you today, as I urge the Roman believers, to offer your life as a sacrifice. Not a dead animal on the altar. No, yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. No longer being conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because then you will be able to discern and know and obey God's will. You have a new standing now. You have a new calling now. You have a new nature now given to you when God granted you salvation. You now stand forgiven, chosen, adopted, redeemed, blessed, predestined, sealed with the Holy Spirit. God's brand, God's mark on you, declaring that you belong to him. You are God's children. You are a new creation. And with a new nature and a new creation, you have a new identity. The old is gone. And therefore, I urge you, put to death whatever belongs to that old sin nature. Put to death the sexual immorality, the impurity, the lust, the evil desires, the greed, which is really idolatry. Put away the lying, the unwholesome speech, the stealing, the bitterness, the wrath. Take all these things off like you're taking off an old garment and put on the new garment, put on the new clothes of the new life. of goodness and kindness and compassion and gentleness and patience and humility. Because as I wrote to the Colossians, we have died and our old life is gone. Our new life is now hidden with Christ in God. But know this, putting to death and taking off is not done by your own strength. It's not done by your own ability. I know, I tried. Having experienced salvation, my life was His and I wanted to do what pleases Him. But I discovered that the more I wanted to do what was right, it seemed like I was doing what was wrong. The law was spiritual, but I'm sinful. In my sin nature dwells no good thing. Even though with my heart I wanted to do what pleases Him, it seemed like this sin was living in me and dragging down. My life was a wretched one. Until God, by His grace, opened my eyes to understand that it was the power of the life-controlling power of the Spirit that sets me free from that controlling power of sin and death. It was the Holy Spirit working in and through me that allowed me by God's grace to say no to ungodliness. It was the Holy Spirit dwelling in me that applied the work of Christ to my life. For not only did Jesus die to pay the penalty for your sin and mine, but we died with Him to the very power of sin. As I told the Roman believers, that our old self has been crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Therefore, we are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. We are to trust what God did through Christ. And the moment we do that, the Holy Spirit applies that work in our lives, so that old man stays dead and the new life of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit is birthed and developed within us. That's why I wrote to the Ephesian believers and I said, be continually filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine where is an excess, but be under the control of the Holy Spirit. As I told the Galatians, walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, stay in step by the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill those desires of the sin nature. It is by the Spirit that the work of Christ is applied. It is your union with Christ and mine that the Spirit makes alive within us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit where the work of Christ is applied for redemption, for restoration, for holiness. It is through Christ and Christ alone that we have this life. For this one, the Son, He is the image of the invisible God. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. He is the firstborn over all creation, which means He has preeminence, He has the rights, He has the privileges, He has the prerogatives. All things were made by Him, whether things in heaven or on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or powers, whether rulers or authorities, all things were made by Him and for Him. And without Him, nothing can be held together. For in Him, everything is held together. He is the one, the Son, the one who in His very essence is God, but did not consider equality with God something to be grasped and held on to. No, He made Himself nothing, taking the very essence of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Oh, the cross. To my people, the Jewish people, the cross, it's a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, it's just foolishness. But to us, to us who are being saved, the cross is the wisdom and the power of God. For it is through the cross that salvation was purchased. It's through the cross that sin was atoned for. It is through the cross that Christ triumphed over the principalities and powers, spoiling them. And God has exalted Jesus by raising him from the dead and vindicating his son, and setting him at his own right hand, a position of power and privilege in the heavenly realms, far above all rulers, authorities, thrones, and dominions, and every title that can be given, not only in this life, not only in this present age, but in the age to come. For God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So as I wrote to the Colossians, I urge you, set your minds on things above. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated. Because that is where you are seated also. For God in his great mercy not only made you alive, he seated you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are united with him. You are in union with him. And all of your life flows out of that union. It is that which defines you. So I say to you, do you have any encouragement from being united with Christ? Do you have any fellowship with the Spirit? Any comfort of his love? Any tenderness and compassion? Then be like-minded with one another in this body of believers. Have the same purpose. Be of one mind and one heart. Work out this salvation in this body of believers with reverence and awe. Why? Because it is God who works in you, both to will and to act according to his good pleasure. But as you work out this salvation, do so without complaining and murmuring against one another. For you are one body. It is by the Spirit you have been brought into one body. You were baptized by one Spirit into one body. You were given the one Spirit to drink. You are one body with many members. So make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Be completely humble and gentle. Bear with each other whatever grievances you might have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Don't be concerned only for your own affairs. In humility, consider others better than yourselves and be concerned for their affairs as well. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For if you do this, you will shine like stars in the dark world in which you live. And I know the times in which you live are very dark. I wrote about these times when I wrote to Timothy, my son in the faith. I said, mark this, in the last days there will be tumultuous, terrible times when people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. These are the days in which you live. Therefore, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity that God gives you. Pray for him to open doors so that you may proclaim the gospel clearly as you should. But do so with your speech full of grace, seasoned with salt. Have winsome speech so you might know how to answer everyone who asks of you. Before I leave, I must bring one more word of hope and encouragement. Because as you live your life in the days ahead, you will face trials. You will face challenges. I want you to embrace them as gifts from God. As I told the Roman believers, we glory in our tribulations because we know they produce perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And character, hope. And hope will not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit he's given us. This is a lesson that I had to learn in my walk with my Savior. I didn't always appreciate the trials. In fact, there was one time when I had this thorn in the flesh. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for God to remove it. And it seemed that the heavens were silent. Until finally, the third time, pouring out my heart to God, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." When I suffered in the province of Asia, my companions and I were pressed beyond measure, so much that we despaired even of life. We wanted to die. But God again reminded me that I would not rely on myself, but on God who raises the dead. You see, because I was a Pharisee, because I was excelling beyond many of my own equals, because as touching the righteousness in the law, I was faultless. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was circumcised the eighth day. I belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. My heritage traced back. That there was a prideful self-sufficiency that I had. And because of the surpassing great revelations, if God did not allow those trials in my life, I could possibly have shipwrecked my faith. And so God, in his great mercy and wisdom and grace, allowed me to face thorns. He allowed me to face pressure. So I wouldn't trust myself, but in God who raises the dead. I was so weak in myself. There was nothing I could depend on. I could not rely on my mind. I could not rely on my body or my strength. I had to rely upon the Lord. And I found that his strength was made perfect in my weakness. I found that his grace was sufficient for me. And so I began to embrace and count it joy whenever I faced trials and difficulties because I watched God work to reveal himself to me and I watched him work to conform my life to his. And the grace that he gave me that was sufficient for me is the same grace that is sufficient and available for you. As you face these trials, know this, you will never face a trial stronger than God's grace. You will never face a trial that will take you outside of the love of God. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the things present, nor things to come, nor the powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the promise keeper, for every promise in him is yes and amen. So put your faith and trust in him, the one who loves you, whom you love, who is working everything together for good in your life. So forget the things which are behind. Strain towards those things which are ahead. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Fight the good fight of faith. Finish your course, your race. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, keep the faith. And now, dear saints of God, with whom I rejoice that you know him and that we together are in his body, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole body and mind and spirit be kept blameless until the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations. Amen and amen. That's Paul's big picture. That's 5 months condensed into about 22 minutes. Any questions? Any questions? To Jesus Christ gets it all. Most definitely. And I will, I guess I'm being filmed, so this will go out there. What you all do not know, some of you do, but not everyone, many years ago, back when I was about 17 years of age, just before the fall of my senior year of high school, I was, in my own mind, the Great Ray. I was involved with 26 different activities in school. I was doing everything. I was athletic, I was music, I was scholastic, I was Bible quiz, I was fine arts. There was nothing I couldn't do, at least so I thought. But the day before I started my senior year of high school, I knew that God was saying it was time to move forward. And so I knelt the day before school started and I prayed a prayer that has changed my life. I said, God, I honestly am scared of your will, but I'm willing to be made willing. 5 days later, I had my first panic attack as part of adrenal fatigue. Did God cause it? No, he did not. The Great Ray caused it because he was an idiot. And I went through a very challenging 20 years or so where God brought me into the dust. It was tough. It was very, very hard. I was pastoring here in 93. I thought I'd have to leave here because it was so bad, but God had mercy. And then in 2001, God healed me. And I have not had any adrenal symptoms since. Over the last couple of years, life has been busy after the pandemic. And although I have loved the Lord and wanted to serve him, I have been doing a lot of things. A lot. And early in the summer, I had one day where I felt the adrenal fatigue back, and it lasted just for a morning, and I kind of threw it off. Now, my wife and I have already been trying to change my schedule to get me doing less and less of other stuff so I can focus on what's most important. But in the end of August, my body experienced, I wouldn't say full-blown adrenal fatigue because I've not had the panic attacks. But as I've walked this out, I look at where we are as a church. The church has grown. I know we don't see it all here today because a number of families are away, but it has almost grown 50% from where it was in January. And it's very easy for the old Pharisee to want to pop back up. So what I shared today wasn't just Paul. That was me. I'm grateful. It sounds crazy, but I'm grateful for this thorn. I am thankful for what it does. I got to tell you, coming into this, my memory, you've probably picked up on that, some of the sermons I'm preaching, I can't remember 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, thank you, Brian, wants to wear a shirt to remind me it's 5 loaves, 2 fish. All right, last week, I find myself not remembering things. And so when the Lord prompted me, I want you to do this. Lord, my memory, I trust me. See, I used to be a Bible quizzer where I'd memorize thousands of verses and spit them off. I had trouble remembering names. I'm like, Lord, if I do this, What if, and I wasn't afraid. I said, but what if I flop? Well, then I flop. I'm not afraid of failure. And you just teach me through it. But Lord, it's going to have to be not me, you. If anyone says anything like, wow, that was great, I will know the great Ray did not do it. The great Jesus did it by his Holy Spirit. So I just want, if you'd stand, let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Can you stand? Let's give him praise. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. We glorify you, oh God, and give you thanks. And I thank you for those who were aware and have been praying for me. It's not that I don't want you to pray for my healing, but pray for God's wisdom so that I'm walking with what he wants me to do, and being obedient to that and learn what he wants me to learn. I'm good because of God's grace. I'm okay here. I wasn't 25 years ago because I was scared out of my mind because I didn't know how good of a father he was because I didn't realize the father wound I had that God had to heal. I'm on this side, so I appreciate it. And what I believe God is doing is, it's not just me. I know Peter's been going through some tough stuff. Some of you have come to me. You're going through some tough things. Let me tell you this. I don't look at it as we're going down. I see God preparing us so that when he moves, we don't take any credit. No glory. He gets it all. So, Lord, thank you for our gathering today. Thank you for the word of the Lord, anointed by your Spirit on the Apostle Paul as he brought forth these truths that were shared today. Lord, I thank you and I bless you that we can be transparent and real here, that this is a grace space where we can be real and honest with you and with each other, that we can build one another up, encourage each other, pray for each other, and that together we can move forward into all that you have for us. You are so good, and the plans that you have for the future are beyond our comprehension. So, Lord, if this is the path that we're going to walk through to get us there, then so be it. Amen and amen. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Go in the grace of our God. Amen.